Amen. So last week, we were continuing our series, and it was The Lord Saves, Part 3. And the subtopic or subtitle was Salvation by Simplification. And we left you with the acronym KISS was Keep It Simple, Saints. And we were talking about how we need to simplify and be practical in our salvation. And so that leads us to the final sermon of the series, The Lord Saves, Part 4. And it's piggybacking off of the simplicity of the message of Jesus and the message of salvation. It is sometimes so simple that we can muddy it up with being too deep. Sometimes we try to be so profound and we miss sometimes the simplistic power in the Word of God. And when we progress in life, a lot of times things change and people change and doctrine shift and anointing shifts and atmosphere shifts. But sometimes you throw the baby out with the bathwater. And sometimes in the new church, they get so deep and what they call it seeker sensitive. You know, we're so trying to make sure the person that comes in feels good that sometimes we are ashamed to go back to the simplicity that's in the gospel. And so let me give you the tag for today, and it is salvation in his name. We can't forget why we are what we are, and it is salvation in his name. And you can be so concerned on not offending people that you silence his name. When they invite me to a corporate prayer, they don't tell the Muslim not to talk about Muhammad. They don't tell the Buddhist not to talk about Buddha. But they want me, the Christian, not to say in Jesus' name. The devil is a lie because salvation is in his name. I am who I am because of his name. And so I don't want to get so cute and I don't want to get so 21st century. I forget the simplicity that there's power in his name. That's why in the old days, even though they didn't know all that they should have known about receiving the Holy Ghost and they call having tarrying services. But one thing they did get right, they would say, thank you, Jesus. Because if you kept saying his name, something would happen because there's power in his name. There's salvation in the name of the Lord. It's a sweet name. It's a powerful name. It's an awesome name. And may my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I get so cute that I won't say his name. Amen. That I want to be so assimilated with the world that I'm afraid of his name. How about you just practice it with me just in case? Jesus. Now, I know some people will tell you that the J came later in life and that Jesus is not his name. He's not white and he don't have blue eyes and blonde hair. Now, I know all that stuff. I know all the history. But every now and then, I just want to say, Jesus. I can say Yeshua and I can say Yeshua HaMashiach. I can say all of that. But there's power in Jesus. Don't take away my Jesus. I still know his name works. There's power in his name. There's anointing in his name. There's healing in his name. There's peace in his name. There's joy in his name. Don't forget the name of Jesus. Jesus. I know I'm preaching to the choir because y'all don't mind his name. But there's some people that get offended by the name. But you're just going to have to be offended by the name because there is no other name but the name of Jesus. Now, of course, we do know the full, it would be Yeshua. We do know that we're saying the English version of it, but we have to understand it's okay to talk about his name. It's okay to talk about it on your job. It's okay to talk about it on Facebook. It's okay to ask the man before you marry him, before you date him, what do you know about Jesus? You may have a car and you may have a job, but do you know his name? Because if you don't know his name, I don't need to be hooked up with you. I need to know, do you know him like I know him? Because there's something about Jesus. So let me put this up. What's in a name, man? What's in a name? This phrase comes from the Shakespearean play Romeo and Juliet. And Romeo makes a statement to Juliet because of Romeo's last name and Juliet's last name, they were fighting families and they couldn't be together because of their last names. So Romeo is basically saying, what's in a name? And he said, a rose is still a rose even if you take its name. In other words, the sweetness of the rose is still the rose even if you change the name. Now I understand what Romeo was saying. He's saying that the name didn't define the thing. But that's in modern day terms. That's in Shakespearean day and from now on, where the name didn't define who you are. And there's some folk that got these babies with some crazy names. And I want to take just a quick little rabbit trail. When you do become a child and you do have a baby, please think about him getting or her getting a job someday down the road. I know you want to pull a name out of the sky, but some of these names, you messing up your baby before they ever get a chance to walk in this life. Choose a name that has some kind of makes some kind of sense. And I got to get off of that because I'm going to probably say something that is a real name that somebody didn't use. So let me back off of it. Or let me try one that I don't think anybody has really used, but Collard Greenisha, that ain't probably the best. So in our day and age, we just pick names. We just grab names. It sounds good. It's cute. But in biblical day and age, there was something behind the name. The name reflected the character. And whenever God wanted to shift someone's destiny, he would change their name. If their name didn't match with the destiny, he would change the name. He said, Abram, you'll no longer be Abram, but you'll be Abraham. Which is putting the ham into the Abram, saying you'll be the father of many nations. You will no longer be a trickster, Jacob, but I'm now going to call you Israel, because names meant something about the character back in that day. So let's just do a little quick word study on the names of God. We're going to give you just quick 7 redemptive names of God. One is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide a sacrifice. It's from Genesis 22 and 13. That's right when Abraham was going to slay the child and there was a ram in the bush and he found him as Jehovah Jireh. Then there's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. This is when they had the bitter water and Moses put the stick in the water and the water was changed and the people were able to drink. That was the Lord God that healeth thee. Then there's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord God that is present. 2 more. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. 2 more. Jehovah Ra'ah, or we normally say in English, Jehovah Roi, which is the Lord is my shepherd, and Jehovah Sekenu, which is the Lord is my righteousness. There's several other names, but here's the thing. God was so good that when he sent his son, he said, if you just say Jesus, you don't have to know all the names if you just say Jesus. Because hidden in his name is Jehovah Roi, is Jehovah Jireh, is Jehovah Sekenu, is Jehovah Nissi, hidden in his name. So God made it easy for you. All you got to do is say Jesus. That's why when the car was going off the road and you shouted Jesus and you don't know how it happened, you don't know when it happened, but somehow you missed the accident because there's power in his name. There's something in the name. There's something in the name. And so all throughout the Old Testament, God is revealing his name. That's not all the names. Those are just 7 redemptive names. There's another one called Jehovah Makadesh, is the Lord our sanctification. There's El Elyon, the Most High God. There's Adonai, the Lord. There's El Shaddai. There's so many things, but God wrapped it all in swaddling clothes and stuck it all in a manger. And we can look at our Savior and we can say his name and there's power. So let's just get back to the simplicity of that message. Now we're going to kind of take some time and work it. Let's look at Acts 4 and 7.
And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this?
This is coming off of the heels of Acts chapter 3, which was Peter and John going to the gate and meeting a crippled man who'd been there for years and asking and begging for money. And they didn't give him any money. They said, silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have, we give to you. Take up your bed and walk. And immediately, the Bible says, immediately his ankle bones got strength. He was crippled one day. The next day he was walking. Everybody knew him as the cripple. And so the religious people wanted to know one thing. They want to know what power or by what name have you done this? And this is a good legal term, power of attorney. When you have power of attorney, if I have power of attorney over you, my name means something in your life. If you have a Rolls Royce and I have a power of attorney, I can tell them that the Rolls Royce belongs to me because you no longer speak for yourself. I speak on your behalf because you have given me the power of attorney. My name can be substituted for your name because I have the power of attorney. Well, Jesus has given us his name to use on our behalf as if we have the power of attorney. There was no power in Peter. There was no power in John, but there was power in the name. And because God gave them the power of attorney, when they used the name, something happened to the man because the power was in the name, but they had the authority to use the name. Now, if they had the authority, we have the authority as well. Get back to using the name of Jesus. Not just the name of Jesus, but what Jesus shed, his blood. The old saints would just say, I plead the blood. Because there's power. We have power of attorney. We have the authority. We have the right. And the devil with his ugly self has the unmitigated gall to come into our life and we say nothing. Use your authority. Use your power and use the name of Jesus. Let's read some more at Peter, what Peter said.
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel.
I love this because if we just go back just a little bit, we'll see this is the same cussing Peter, but now he's Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. And what does he say in the next verse?
If we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed?
I like what Peter is doing. He's saying, this is going to give me an opportunity. You're examining us for something that was done. First of all, why are you examining us for doing something good? But they were so caught up in religion, they wanted to know, how were you able to do this? And so Peter said, I'm going to tell you, because Peter didn't have no problem talking. Peter didn't have no problem saying. He just had a problem saying the right stuff. But when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he had a Holy Spirit boldness to him. Read the next one.
And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified.
Hold on. Let me tell all of you, the man upstairs sure can hook people up. No, it's okay to say the man upstairs every now and then. But Peter said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. I ain't got time to be sugarcoating it right now. I'm going to tell you who I believe in. I'm tired of everybody coming out the closet but the Christians. You ought to open your mouth and say, this was done by none other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Read some more.
Whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well.
And then you have to understand that would have been an affront to those people. But Peter wasn't scared. He wasn't scared at all. Don't be a scary Christian. It comes a time in your life where you have to stand up and declare who you are and what you believe in, who you put your stake on, what you believe in. You stand up and say it. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Tell them what you believe. Well, I go to church. I go to church. Well, are you saved or not? Well, I like my pastor. Listen, stop being such a wimp, such a punk. Say, I serve Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who I serve. I don't want you to mistake it. I'm not serving Jesus from down the street. I serve Jesus Christ Nazareth. Verse 11. Next verse.
And there is salvation in no other one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
I love the grace message, and I love how God can snatch people and bring people in, but don't get it confused. There's salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have to get back to calling on his name and not being afraid and not being ashamed. I remember going to Haiti and being warned that there was a lot of voodoo and a lot of demonic activity in that land because of the way they were raised. And so I was just wondering, how am I going to approach it? What would I do if I'm confronted with spirits? But when I stepped on the soil, I felt something. It just dawned on me and reminded me the greater one lives in me. There was not one issue that I had. I did see some people that looked like they were demonic, but they were backing away from me. And it reminded me, oftentimes we're backing away from the devil, but the devil is backing away from us because the devil sees the name that we carry. We have his name on our forehead. We have his name on our hearts. We have his name over our life, but we're so scared to use the name. Use his name. You've got the power of attorney. So there is salvation in his name. Somebody say salvation in his name. And so we talked to you at the beginning of this series. I think it was the second point. First of all, we said the Lord saves is the best translation of Jesus' name. Or actually, it means God rescues. And then we took salvation and talked to you about sozo and soteria, which means all the things that come in salvation. Salvation is not just being born again, even though that's the initial step. There's so much to it. So when we say all these things are in his name, we're saying more than just being saved, talking about I'm going to heaven. We're talking about all the things that you need can come through his name. So I'm going to take you through some things to show you in his name. So number one, healing. Somebody say healing in his name. Acts 3 and 16. Now, this is the same story I'm telling you. But before they confronted those people or were confronted by those people, if you back up into that chapter, you'll see Peter saying this to everyone else. So read this.
And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know.
Let me stop right there. Here's the problem. We know the name, but oftentimes we don't have real faith in the name. See, we have more faith in our problems than we do in the name. And this is what Peter was telling them. It was by faith in his name that made this man strong. So the man who was lame, once he heard the name, he put his faith in the name, because he could have just said, well, if y'all don't have money, leave me alone. But in that moment, he grabbed hold of faith. Here's the thing. Faith comes by hearing. And so when it's heard or when it goes across, you've got to grab it. You've got to use your faith to grab it, to put faith in it. And he put faith in his name and it made him strong. Read.
And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all.
The faith that is through this Vicodin has given the man his perfect health.
Jesus.
The faith through Obamacare has given him his perfect health. God may use Obamacare and he may use Vicodin, but the only way to have perfect health is through Jesus, his name. I feel one of them old type anointings. Just talk about his name. His name, Jesus. His name, Jesus. You sometimes, because we've been around church so long and we have tried to change our speech and we no longer are cussing and doing those things, sometimes our shout and fearful words are Jesus. Like if somebody sneaks up on you, oh, Jesus. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. It becomes just like just something that we do. But let's start putting some value to his name. Let's not just be using his name for just anything. Let's know that when we say the name, we're talking about the one that we believe in, the one that we put our hope and our trust in. Let's put some value on his name. If I move into an arena far as in Silicon Valley, which is where they do all the computers, and I come with Bill Gates' name, and people can tell that I am coming with Bill Gates' name, there's some doors that will open up for me because of the name that I represent. Now, if Bill Gates' name can do that, what about the name of Jesus? And if we don't value his name, and when I say his name, I mean his character. I mean what he means to you. The problem is too many of us are going through the motions. I know what he means to me. See, when I really got a hold of him, I wasn't in a church. It wasn't no music and tambourine. It wasn't no organ. It wasn't a sermon. It was just me in a dorm room crying out to God, telling God I don't believe in you. And yet Jesus comes in my room and shows me something I had never seen. When I say Jesus, I know what I'm talking about. You can take the microphone. You can take the church. But you can't take my revelation of my Jesus. And you need to have your personal experience with your Lord. So when you say the name, it means something to you. And when you pray in his name, it means something to you. And when you have faith in his name, it means something to you. Please don't just go through the motions. Because there's more power that should be operating in the churches than what it is. But it's too much of us going through the routine. Going to this conference and doing that, and I'm just coming to see my friend and see my pewmate. All that's good, but if I lose my pewmate, I'm not going to lose my Jesus. So you got to get back to that. All right, so not only is there healing in the name, there is deliverance in the name. If we are Deliverance Temple, we ought to be lifting up the name of Jesus. I appreciate you lifting up my name and saying my pastor's good. I appreciate you lifting up the apostle and lifting up Lady Devon and elect lady. But if y'all lift us up more than you lift up Jesus, even though we're Deliverance Temple, we won't have any real deliverance. In a lot of churches, it's the bishop that is worshiped. It's the apostle that's worshiped. It's the pastor that's worship, or it's the musicians that's worship. When will we get back to worshiping Jesus? I didn't get up out of the bed to see another man and see another woman. I got up out of the bed because Jesus woke me up and started me on my way. And when I come to the house of God, I want to give some reverence to my Jesus. Now, me personally, because I'm doing so much in the service, this is not my time to really get fed and get filled and worship. I got to do it somewhere else. But just because I don't do it here don't mean I don't do it. See, public power shows up in private places. Yeah. If you see power in my life, it's because I've done something in private. And let me just let you know what I've done in private. I've spent time with Jesus because he's all right with me. Woo. I told Satan, get thee behind, because victory today is mine. Yeah, you ought to have some time with Jesus. You don't need a Deliverance Temple testimony service. You can have a testimony service by yourself and look back over your life and say what God has done for you. I thank God when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out. Hallelujah. I want some folk to have a real relationship with Jesus. I want people to feel Jesus around you. I want them to hear Jesus. I want when you leave their presence, it feel like I got to get back around them because you are a carrier of the name of Jesus. Deliverance. All right, let's read.
But there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all.
Rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13.
But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
This is the simplification of the salvation message. It's not the church you go to. It's not the bishop you have. It's not who you sent money to on the TV. It wasn't the miracle green water that you bought at 2 a.m. from the preacher that was screaming on the television. No, it was the fact that you called upon the name of the Lord. And that's what brought your salvation, is you called on his name. When you called on his name, you were calling on him to be your Nissi, your banner. You were calling on him to be your Jehovah Jireh. You were calling on him to be your righteousness. But you were just calling on his name. But there's a whole bunch in his name. That's why someone could go from being hooked on drugs to serving the Lord, because there was power in the name that they called on. I didn't call on General Motors. I didn't call on E.F. Hutton. I didn't call on Donald Trump. I didn't call on Barack Obama. I called on the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is why I'm saved. It's why you're saved. It's why you're not in a crazy house. It's why you're not having lost your mind. It's why you haven't committed suicide. It was the name of the Lord. Deliverance is in his name. I need his name. I need his name. I need his name, or his character, or his person. In other words, I'm just saying, get back to a personal relationship with Jesus. Let me put it to you like this. If I fail and I messed up and I blew it and I could no longer be your pastor because I blew it so bad, would you leave God because of my mistake? You say no, but a lot of churches, when the man messes up, it messes them up, because their focus was on the man. Your focus has to be on the name of Jesus. There is no other name, not my name, the name of the Lord. I can't save you. I can't wash you. I didn't die for you. My blood won't do anything but stain your dress or stain your shirt. But the name of the Lord, there's power in his name. And whosoever, I like that word, whosoever. Didn't mean you don't have to have a certain amount of money. You don't have to be from a certain background, a certain family. You can be a whosoever. And all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And there's a lot of whosoevers out there that just don't know the power that's in the name, and just don't know that they could call on his name and God would save them. Let's read the next verse.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Now you understand why I am as passionate as I am, why I do what I do, because how are they going to hear if somebody doesn't proclaim it? Now here's the thing, I'm not always just proclaiming it to them, I'm proclaiming it to you so you can take it to them. So when you come in here, I'm reminding you of what you should already know so you can articulate it to somebody else. I'm trying to preach you happy so you can preach somebody else happy. I'm trying to preach you delivered so you can preach somebody else delivered. It's not my job to fill the pews. It's your job to fill the pews. But I got to give you everything I've got, because how can they hear without a preacher? The next verse, which is not up there, says, how can he preach except he be sent or anointed? Now we got all these Facebook preachers and Facebook prophets, and everybody's a preacher. But let me, don't get it twisted. All these folk haven't been called. All these folk are not anointed. All these folk, they just talk and stuff. You can buy a sermon off of the internet, but that doesn't mean you have what it takes to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let me let you know something. This bald-headed, bearded man, I've paid the cost to preach the word of God. And when I preach it, I know what I'm talking about. I know what it costs, and I'm preaching it to you to stir you up, to get you on fire for God, so that you can go out and tell a dying world, there is a Savior. Yeah. What do you do when people die like that and you don't know whether they go to heaven or hell? How can you have something to say? That's what God has called me. God always gives me something to say in the midst of a time like that. But if I keep telling you stuff, you're going to have something to say, because I won't always be around. And I'm not talking about I'm going to be dead. I'm saying sometimes I'm somewhere else. Sometimes you got to step up and fill in the gap and say what thus says the Lord. If we keep growing as a ministry and the ministry is always pointing toward me, I'm failing as a leader. It ought to begin leaking into the pews where everybody can give you a word. It ought to come a time where I can say right now, we're just going to pass the mic and everybody can share and the whole church will be blessed. Amen. Right now, if I pass the mic, somebody going to get up with some foolishness. So I'm still working, y'all. I'm still putting something in you. But there's going to come a day, the Bible says, that the presence of God moves so much that the priest could not even minister. The preacher couldn't even preach because the presence of the Lord was in the place and people were calling on the name of the Lord. When real revival hits, bars shut down. People come out of their crack addiction because the presence of the Lord, and they draw and run to the house of God. And when they run to the house of God, will we have something to say? Whew, you sure got a lot of tattoos. Is that what we going to say? Or are we going to tell them, thank God for Jesus. I'm so glad you found Jesus, you and your tattoos. And if you got enough room, put a tattoo of Jesus on there too with the rest of them and come on and serve the Lord. Revival. Revival. I'm not talking about we got to have a 7-day service. I'm saying being a revived, knowing who you serve. Not only that, but there is safety in his name. So there's healing, there's deliverance, there is safety. Now all these are the definitions of soteria and sozo, but safety. Read the verse under safety.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. Whew. And is safe.
Ah, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now the righteous run into it. So that means that sometimes righteous people get in situations that they gotta run. Just because you're righteous don't mean you won't get in a running situation. Sometimes your bills make you want to run. Sometimes your body makes you want to run. Sometimes your marriage makes you want to run. Sometimes your kids make you want to run. And let me say this kind of quiet. Sometimes your pew mates make you want to run. But here's the thing, it's one thing to run and not know where to go to find help. It's another thing. Have you ever watched a horror movie and the person that's running runs right into the problem instead of running into the solution? And because you're sitting there watching and you see the man on the other end, you're saying, don't run in there, don't run in there. But because they don't know, they run right into the trouble. And the world is running right into the trouble. But I'm so glad I know who to run to. I know where to run. I know where to go. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into and they are saved. Woo! I'm glad I'm saved. My son, Drayna, both of my sons actually have been dealing with some nightmare type of things. And I don't make too much of a big deal about it because when you grow up in a pastor's home, the devil always tries to attack the kids with something. And so my son, Dylan, I just said, we're going to take this. We're going to take a paper and we're going to put, I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give me a spirit of fear, power, love, and sound mind. We're going to stick it on your wall and you're going to say that and memorize that and you're going to break that off of your spirit. He's been doing good. And then the next thing you know, it starts happening with Draylen. He starts having these issues. And so I'm giving him scriptures. What I'm letting them know is you can't always run to me because I'm human. You're going to have to, even though you're 11 and 10, you're going to have to know how to run to Jesus because Daddy won't always be here. And Papa won't always be here. And Gigi won't always be here. Teach your kids how to run to God. In the midst of the school when stuff is breaking out and something's going crazy, teach them how to run to God. There have been all kinds of school shootings, and even in all kinds of school shootings, there still have been kids that made it out alive. And I don't know how they made it out alive, but I believe they know how to run to the name of the Lord. Teach these kids how to turn to God, not just to YouTube and to Netflix. Nothing wrong. Allow them to have some fun, but teach them the name of the Lord. When we get in our car on the way to school, we say these four things. I am favored. I am blessed. I am loved. I am doing well in school. And they are favored, they are blessed, they are loved, and they're doing well in school. But we're not waiting for it to just to happen overnight. We are confessing it every morning. We're saying it over our lives because we know the power that's in the name of the Lord. And it's time to not be lazy and declare the victory ahead of time. What I'm preaching to you,
I do it myself.
Because this is the way I make it out. I know how to run to the name of the Lord. Now, even in all this, yes, you get stressed out. Things happen. But when you're in the habit of running into the name of the Lord, you can run to the name of the Lord without ever moving. In other words, sometimes your mind is gripped by the trouble, but your spirit will run and find help. I tell you all the time how when I was sitting in the emergency room and they told us there's not a trace of a baby, that my mind didn't want to praise, but my spirit said, we're going to praise God. And I'm thinking, no, we're not going to praise God. This don't feel good. But my spirit took over my mind, and three big-headed babies later, I know that God is a deliverer, because the spirit knew who to run to even when my mind didn't want to line up. Even when your flesh don't want to line up, your spirit will run to God. Your flesh might be in the bed you don't belong in, and it may have felt good, it may have blown your mind, but something in your spirit says, even though it felt good, I'm not going back. And the next time you go back, there's something in your spirit say, we're not going back. And one day you do not go back, and don't know how you had the power to not go back, but the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It fights for you. It defends for you. Have you ever heard somebody say, God blocked it? It blocks stuff for you because you're under the tower of the name of the Lord. You better be glad you know God. You better be glad you know God. You better be glad you grew up the way you grew up. I don't like slavery. I don't like Jim Crow and segregation, but I'm so glad that I'm in a place where I can serve God freely and I know about the name of the Lord. I'm so glad my ancestors, when they got beat, they held on to the name of the Lord. I'm so glad I grew up knowing about the name of the Lord. Because I got just a little bit of time to just give you just a little bit. I've seen people that hire in the same time I hire in, but don't have a job anymore. I've seen people that hired in when I hired in and have as many years as I have, but don't have nothing to their name. I know a man that worked all kinds of overtime, retired with 36 years and was living at Colonial Crest without a car when he retired. Because the alcohol that he was hooked on just robbed his life. I'm so glad that God gave me the sense of mind to do right with my money and make sense and not be a fool. I look better than what I should look, but it's the name of the Lord. I'm grateful. Sometimes you don't know how good you have it. You don't know how good your mind is. You don't know how good it is to have a minister that didn't rob from you and take from you. Just think what it'd be like to grow up under a Jim Jones and look at them being anointing, and the next thing you know, folk are dying and being confused. You didn't have all that kind of stuff happen. You ought to be grateful for a ministry where you can still feel the presence of God and hear the name of the Lord being preached. Now, people on Facebook will tell you that we can't preach stuff because we're 501c3. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Not the dumbest thing, but since I got the mic right now in this moment, it's the dumbest thing. They can't tell me what to preach. Now, there may come a day where they will, but right now, until they come, I'm preaching Jesus. You can't stop me from preaching what God has given me to preach. You didn't put the word in my mouth, so you can't take it out of my mouth. And some of the greatest preachers that ever lived preach from jail cells too. If I gotta go to jail, I'll preach from jail. I won't stop preaching in the name of the Lord. All right, what else does it give me? It gives me peace, might, and counsel. All of that is in the name. I'm not making this stuff up. We can go to the word of God and we're going to show you it's all in the name. Read the next, the verse I have, Isaiah 9:6, A clause.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
This is not just a December 25th nativity scripture. Don't be fooled by the seasons and what the world tells you to celebrate. This is a word for all time. You can use it for all time. What does the next verse say? Or the next part of the same verse say?
And his name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor.
Yes.
Mighty God.
Yes.
Everlasting Father.
Yes. Wait a second. It said, and his name shall be called all those things. But when they asked Mary what the name, Mary said his name going to be Jesus. I thought his name was supposed to be all those things. But in Jesus is all of those things.
It's wrapped up in all those things. See, when you eat a cake, you say it's a cake, but sugar is in the cake. Butter is in the cake. Vanilla is in the cake. Salt is in the cake. But when you put it all together, you call it a cake. But I call him Jesus, but he's Wonderful Counselor. I call him Jesus, but he's Mighty God. I call him Jesus, but he's Everlasting Father. I call him Jesus, but he's Prince of Peace. And he will keep me in perfect peace when my mind is stayed on him, because I trust in his name. Do you know what you have when you say you are a Christian and you are like Christ and like Jesus? Do you know what you believe in? Oh, my God. And then there is righteousness in his name. Let's look at Romans 10 and 6.
But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above.
See, the righteousness that comes from faith, it doesn't take so much ownership on itself to become righteous. That I don't have to go up and bring Jesus down. Let's read the next verse.
Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead.
You know, some people try to tell you to be righteous, you got to do all these things. You got to go through all these hoops, and you got to touch heaven, and you got to get into the deep revelations. But what does the Bible say? Next verse.
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth.
When you come and you sit under the word of God, I'm preaching faith to you, and it gets in your heart and it can be in your mouth, and all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. See, you may not understand everything I'm preaching, but I'm putting it in your heart. I'm depositing, I'm planting it in you. So in the time that you need it, you can just say, Jesus. That's why in a crowded funeral and a whole bunch of stuff going on, I can just invoke the name of Jesus and watch God just settle a whole crowd, because it's inside of me, because it's been preached to me. Next verse.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus.
If you, hold on. If you can just confess it with your mouth, the Lord Jesus. Do you know how easy this thing is? That all we got to do is confess it with our mouth, the Lord Jesus. And what else?
And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
All you need to know, all you need to believe is that God raised him from the dead. And if you can open your mouth and say, the Lord Jesus, that's all you really need. And I can't wait till we can teach people that you don't need to go through all this stuff. You don't have to stop a bunch of stuff. If I can get the word in you, if I can get some of my pew mates to go out there and win the lost and bring them in and change their hearts and tell them to shout Jesus. Do you know what we can do in a city like Muncie? Do you know how we can turn it upside down and right side up when people get on fire for God and tell them about the God that they serve, so much so that the other people say, what must I do to be saved? And when they say, what must I do to be saved? We don't pull out a 27-page rule book. We say, just confess the Lord Jesus. Do you believe God raised him from the dead? Some of these folk that are acting a fool, if you get down to it and ask them, they still believe in Jesus. Because grandma taught them about it, and they'd seen grandma do some stuff, and so they still believe. And if you can talk to their mind and get past the high and get past the foolishness, sometimes there's so much God inside of them, they just need somebody to help stir it up. Amen. And we're just the ones to do it. Next verse.
Amen. But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. And let me say right now in this sanctuary and also in TV land, if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord, do it right now. Just say, I believe you, Jesus. I believe you were raised from the dead, and I confess you as my Lord and Savior. You got saved right then, right now. And all you got to do is find you a Bible believing church to come into so you can walk out what God has done. Now, for us, it goes even deeper than that. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21.
For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of
It was the great exchange. And this tells us everything. So here's the major hang up that we have in confessing Jesus. I know I'm confessing Jesus, but I'm still messed up. But he says he made him to be sin for us. So all of my sin had been put on Jesus. Not just my past sin, but my future sin. And that one, that part, the future sin, is hard to believe in. How in the world could God put sins on Jesus that I haven't even done yet? Because it sounds like you getting over on God if you just gonna sin and it's already put on Jesus. But here's the thing you have to understand. When Jesus died, none of y'all was born. So that means everything that you did was in the future from the cross. So he takes care of future sins, because this is what Jesus believes, or this is what God believes. He believes it's the goodness of the Lord that leads people to repentance. He believes if I'm good enough to you, you won't keep doing wrong. You'll start acting right because you're too good for me to stay the way I am. I've been addicted. I've been messed up, but God's been too good. And I said, God, I'm not going to stay the way I am because you've been too good to me. And when people understand the goodness of the Lord and that he exchanged his life for my life, when he died, I died. But when he lived, I live in him. It's the name of the Lord. That's the gospel message. The gospel message is not makeups and pants and you can't go here and you can't do that and you got to speak in tongues for the evidence. No, the gospel message is that he died for you when you were unlovable. But he said, if you confess, I will act like when I died, I'll act like you died. Every single one of y'all, just stop and look at that cross and just realize you hung there because of him. When he was put up there, you were put up there, and you were supposed to be there in his place, but he took your place. But if you ought to take his place, and his place is risen at the right hand of the Father, you ought to have some power in your life because of what you believe. And this closes us out. There is authority in his name. So here's the thing, that sometimes it looks like, because God's so good, looks like people are getting over on him. It looks like the world's going to hell in a handbasket. It looks like nothing's turning around. So what do you have to say about that? Let me just put it to you like this. There is ultimate authority in his name. Last verse.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow.
Stop for a second. What does every mean?
Every.
It means every. So every means all, read some more.
Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth.
That means heaven, earth, and hell. Read.
And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Here's the thing. You're going to confess his name one way or the other. So you might as well confess him on earth when you have a chance to see him in heaven. I don't want to have to confess him in hell and I don't have to make my bed in hell and him find me there. He ain't got to find me there. I'm here on earth and I'm living, so I'm confessing you now. Because if I don't confess you, there's coming a day that every knee gonna bow. And every tongue's going to confess. And I wonder why it's taking God so long to do what he needs to do. Because he knows he wants to have everybody. The Bible says he's not willing that any should suffer.
Amen.
He's slow concerning his promise, that it looks like to us, because he don't want anybody to miss out. Because you're going to bow one way or the other. But Mother Rankin, I want to bow willingly. I want to bow willingly. He's been good to me. I want to bow willingly and I want to say, Jesus, you're my Lord. Jesus, you're my Savior. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. And sometimes, to be honest, sometimes I feel like I'm getting worse. The older I get, sometimes it seems like I'm the worse I am. I'm more cranky than I ever been. Like, God bless me. I should be better, but I'm still calling on his name. I'm still confessing my deliverance consistently. I'm still connecting with him continually. I'm still trying to communicate his love compassionately. I'm still trying to commit to serve. God, I'm just going to try to give you everything I can. Because if I quit, there's still going to come a day I got to bow to you anyway. If I throw in the towel now, why would I be saved 20 years and throw in the towel now? It makes no sense. I don't care if it hurts, I'm going with God. I don't care if I don't like what he did, I'm going with God. Because I'm going to bow one way or another. You're going to bow one way or another. You're going to come to God one way or another. You might as well be a willing vessel. And I want to be a willing vessel. There is, say it with me, salvation in his name. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Keep the live running even while we bow our heads, because I want to pray for everybody and keep the CD running. Father God, in the name of Jesus, your name is great. Your name is powerful. Your name is awesome, God. And God, for the sake of your name is why we do what we do. It's why we preach the gospel. But God, help us to put a focus on your name and a focus on your presence. And God, we know you're going to continue to bless us, but we don't want to take the blessing and forget about the authority and the power that's in your name. We want to take your name everywhere we go. God, even on vacation, we want to live your name. We want people to know there's a difference between light and dark. And God, if there's anybody here, and even in the through the internet, anybody that didn't take that chance to say you as the Lord, God, I'm giving them another chance. I make another appeal for them that they would repeat after me and say, Father God, I believe you. And I believe you sent your son to die for all of our sins. But I've got my own sins. And I'm receiving you into my heart for my personal sins. And I'm putting my faith and my trust and my hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Simple, simple. It's simple, but it's the salvation message.